Early Sunsets by Captain Kopaka. Chapter 1. Fog of War. Lift, swing, hack. Lift, swing, hack. Lift, swing, hack. The monotonous noise filled the cavern with a thousand clinks and grunts as thousands of protodermic picks swung and collided with the rock wall. Ayaja liked to make up songs to go with the rhythmic beating, often nonsensical. Today he was all out of words, and worked along with the beat, with no lyrics to accompany it. Lift, swing, hack. Lift, swing, hack. Lift, swing, hack. Clunk. Ayaja paused, and observed the wall closely, brushing it with his fingers. Had he found ore? Or was it just a hard sediment? Clunk. It had to be ore. Ayaja set down his pick, and hafted his extractor chisel. It made a loud, rapid thumping noise as he revved it up, making many Matoran pause in their work to look in Ayaja's direction. The noise was amplified as he touched the hydraulic chisel to the edge of where he guessed the ore begun, and started to chip away at the wall. His fingers began itching from gripping the chisel so hard, the chisel cutting the solid rock with excellent precision, but soon it was over. Ayaja breathed a sigh of relief as he let the extractor chisel fall to the ground, and sat in exhaustion for a few moments. "Cart, please!" Ayaja shouted over the noise of the picks hitting solid rock. When another Faematoran approached with a shallow cart, Ayaja eased the heavy crystalline rock from the wall and let it fall. It landed in the center of the cart's platform with a dull thud. Ayaja hefted the lever from the ground and began to heave the cart through the tunnels of Faemetru, maneuvering around the muscular Matoran who hacked away at the rock walls, not caring for the small Matoran as he tried to pull around the large chunk of ore. Ayaja decided to take a break from pulling the heavy stone, and leaned against the wall, out of sight. When he was positive that nobody would look around the corner, he fell to the ground in fatigue. Mining was definitely not the job for this puny Matoran, but it was the only job left for a Faematoran that wouldn't end with him causing some sort of disaster. Muka bird farming? No, Ayaja caused a rock slide. Canoe building? Surely not. All of Ayaja's boats had holes hidden somewhere or other. Entertainment? Not a chance. Ayaja was far too clumsy. So he was stuck mining, a job in which he couldn't possibly kill any livestock, sink any boats, or ruin anyone's fun. When he figured he should stop laying around, Ayaja stood up, his back still pressed against the wall. Suddenly, he heard a low, scraping sound. The wall was hollow. Was there another tunnel or a room on the other side of the wall? Ayaja removed his miniature pick from his tool belt and lightly tapped the wall. The movement produced a faint echo. Hesitantly, Ayaja swung the pick back and struck the wall. A few rocks fell out, creating a hole that led to the dark oblivion. Letting his curiosity get the better of him, Ayaja wriggled through the gap. He was just small enough to get through. When he made it to the other side, his feet landed solidly on the ground. Except for the hole that he had made, which produced a faint light, Ayaja could not see anything in the room, not even the walls or floor, so he couldn't tell how big it was. Ayaja fumbled in his tool belt until he found a small leather pouch, and produced from it a light stone. Now the cavern glowed with a dim, greenish light, and Ayaja could see that the cave was only about 2 meters in both directions, shaped like a circle. On the wall opposite him, text was etched meticulously into the stone. He couldn't read the insides of the small hexagons from where he stood, so Ayaja cautiously crept to the other side of the room and held his light stone to the wall. The carving read, Sector 13. Strange. I've never heard of a Sector 13 before, Ayaja thought. His gaze swept the walls of the cavern until he realized there was nothing else to see, and he crawled back through the hole. Thankfully, no Matoran had noticed the abandoned cart or the hole in the wall. Ayaja placed the light stone back in its pouch and began to pull his cart along. When he finally arrived, out of breath, at Taragakoram's chambers, he knocked on the wooden door. "Come in," came the cool voice of the Taraga. Ayaja opened the door, lugging the cart behind him. "I think I've found some more," he said. The Taraga of Earth observed the rock closely from the table where he sat. Finally, he said, "Come over here. Close the door and leave the cart. Ayaja cautiously closed the door and sauntered over to the Turaga's table. Have a seat, said Turaga calmly. Ayaja obeyed, taking a seat in a low chair across from the Turaga. Ayaja observed the table, round but covered in hexagons of black and white, like Matoran letters, but with no marks on their insides. There were stones of black, white, tan, and dark brown scattered across the table. Ayaja, correct? Said Turaga Korim. You know me? Questioned Ayaja politely. Who doesn't? Chuckled the Turaga. Tell me, Ayaja, have you ever heard of Fog of War? No, sir, said Ayaja in confusion, wondering if his clumsiness was really that infamous. It's a game, stated the Turaga, as calm as ever. A game? And is this? Ayaja said, gesturing to the board. That's right, Matoran, said the Turaga. Would you like to try your skills at it? Oh, I'm not very good at games, began Ayaja. But this is a game of strategy, said Korim. Not like most Matoran games of luck and chance or athletic abilities. I insist. It will be like a justified break. A small grin appeared on the Turaga's face and was mirrored on Ayaja's. Well, how do you play? It's simple, began Korim. It's a war simulator. But you never know everything that's going on. That's why you have to use your brain. Korim gave a light tap to the top of Ayaja's mask. Now you see, these pieces represent soldiers. The black and white ones are warriors, and the brown and tan ones are scouts. The warriors can capture other pieces, but the scouts can move up to 3 spaces in a turn. Turaga Korim arranged the pieces in a pattern. On Ayaja's side, he made a small pattern with the black and brown pieces, and the same pattern on his side with the white and tan ones. Now you see, you can move the warriors to any adjoining space, as long as they're not on top of any of your own pieces. Turaga Korim lifted a white piece and moved it 1 space forwards. You can move a scout 1, 2, or 3 spaces, as long as you don't land on another piece. You can jump them over other pieces, though. The object of the game is to have full awareness of the battlefield. You must place a scout here, he said, pointing to a green hexagon in front of him. Here, here, and here. He indicated blue, yellow, and red hexagons, respectively, on each extreme of the board. Your warrior can land on an opponent's piece. When you do so, it's called a capture. You can then remove your opponent's piece from the board. If an opponent manages to capture all but 4 of your pieces, you can reclaim a piece, either warrior or scout, by sacrificing a turn. If all of your pieces are captured, you automatically lose the match. And one more thing, you can use a turn to replace a scout with a captured warrior, or a warrior with a captured scout, if you like. Do you think that's enough instruction, or shall I describe more? Ayaja looked at the board. Both he and the Turaga had 6 warriors and 6 scouts, 12 pieces total. In the extreme of the board nearest to him, there was a red hexagon. That would probably be the easiest extreme to protect and to gain control of. Yes, Turaga. Can you capture a piece if it's on an extreme? Yes, that is allowed, so be sure to protect your units on the extremes. Okay, said Ayaja. I think I'm ready to play.